It's a story that is, I believe, a Jewish parable. And I'm coming back to farms and farming and so on. And having done the junior Sabbath school with them today, I sort of suddenly realizing all these connections through what I've been sharing. And maybe the younger ones that were with me in the class will recognize some of the connections as I share. But this story, it's of a farmer, and he was doing his best, trying to work the fields and so on. And he was doing his best at trying to make a living, but things were difficult. Things were really tough. And he was, as this is a Jewish parable, he was doing his prayers and going along to synagogue and so on. And he was doing his best at developing his faith, but things were tough. And one night, he woke up, and there in front of him was an angel. And the angel spoke to him, and the angel said, "Look, I have a message from God, and this message is that God recognizes that you're doing your best, and God would like you to think about what you want in your life, and God wants to grant you three prayers that you ask for. The only thing is," said the angel, "the only thing is, whatever you ask for, your neighbor will get double." Very interesting. Maybe it shouldn't make any difference. But this farmer, this Jewish farmer, he lay in bed and he started thinking about what is it that God wants to bless me with, and what can I ask God to bless me with? We have a story in the Bible of someone that would get anything that they wanted. And what did that someone ask for? Someone asked for wisdom. They got wisdom. So maybe he was thinking, should I go for wisdom? What should I ask of God? And he woke up in the morning, or he woke his wife up in the morning and explained this whole thing that had just happened. He said, "This is amazing, and I don't know, what should we ask God for?" So almost without any thought whatsoever, she said, "Why don't you ask God for 1,000 cattle?" "Well, okay, I'm a farmer. I'll ask God for 1,000 cattle." And they both together, they prayed this prayer, and he said, "God, you've invited me to ask of anything, and I want to ask first of all for 1,000 cattle." And virtually as soon as they finished their prayer, they heard this moo, yeah, there were donkeys everywhere. No, there were cattle everywhere. And they were looking out the window, and suddenly his wife said, "Look, come on, husband, you better get moving. You better sort these animals out." And he went rushing outside, putting on his boots and his jacket, looking around. There was just cows everywhere. Wow, what a blessing. And he spent the next few days trying to move these cattle from one place into another. Unfortunately, he had enough land, and he was able to put them into fields, but then he needed to divide his land up into more fields, and he was starting to move them around and sort them out and so on. And he spent days and days looking after these cattle. Till one day, and part of his routine of trying to work out and putting up new fences and so on, he found himself on the ridge of this hill. And on the ridge of this hill, he was starting to put this fence up, and he looked out across his farm. And he could see 1,000 cattle everywhere. And he felt pretty good. Wow, thank you, God. And then his gaze lifted up. And he could see in the distance, his neighbour's farm. And that looked like his neighbour, all of a sudden, had 2,000 cattle. And suddenly, this farmer got a little bit upset. That's not fair. How come he gets 2,000 cattle and I only get 1,000 cattle? It's not right, is it? And he marched home and his kind of, maybe you haven't seen people like this at your home, but he marched home and he was in a right old strop. And he slammed the door and his wife asked him what the problem is and he just didn't answer. He's just grumbling and muttering and so on. He goes off into his bedroom and he doesn't have any tea that night. And he's just so jealous. How come my neighbour gets 2,000 cattle and I get only 1,000 cattle? He was really fed up. Then he got thinking about this promise. 3 things that you ask for. So he started thinking the next few days. And he started to calm down a little bit. And late one night, he was looking at his wife laying there fast asleep. And he thought to himself, we haven't got any children. Maybe I could ask God for a son to come and help me on my farm. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then when I get too old and I can give my farm to my son. So without asking his wife, he prayed, God, you said 3 things. I would like to ask you for a son. Well, it wasn't more than a few weeks later when his wife told him some wonderful news. Guess what? We're going to have a baby. And he just couldn't believe it. This is wonderful. Thank you, God, he said. Thank you. Anything that I ask, at first you give me some cattle, but you gave my neighbour 2,000 cattle. And now we're going to have a baby. And the time came for her to give birth, and he went with her to the hospital, and she gave birth to a son. And because this was at the end of the week, it happened to be, so he went off like a good Jewish farmer. He went off to the synagogue and he was there and he said to everyone, guess what, everyone, I have some thanksgiving to give. I want to tell everyone that God has blessed me with a newborn son. And virtually before he'd even sat down, his neighbor stood up. And he said, God must be blessing us all, this whole community, because last night my wife had twin sons. The first farmer wasn't very happy. I mean, he was glad that he had a son, but why does he get one son and his neighbor gets 2 sons? He was really, really fed up. Although he'd been blessed with 1,000 cattle and a newborn son. And he started to let this frustration and jealousy and envy start to overtake him. 3 things that I ask for, he thought. And his jealousy just started to eat him away. What else could I ask for? And then he had an idea. Such was his jealousy of his neighbor. He thought, I'm going to ask for something that will make sure that he will not enjoy the blessings that he has received. And he prayed. God, you said 3 things, and my 3rd thing that I ask for is that you take away the sight in one of my eyes. At which an angel appeared to him and said, why are you so grievous in your envy against your neighbor? Didn't I tell you that God would grant you anything you wanted, but that your neighbor would get double. You knew that from the start. Why aren't you thankful for what you do have rather than being envious for what you don't have? Because of your envy, your last request will not be granted. We have this display. And as has been mentioned, maybe not many of us do too much growing, although I know there are some people here that do try to cultivate some things. Maybe we too take it a little bit more for granted to turn up at the shop and almost any time of the year that we want to have a certain thing, although it's not normally in regular season. We can also look around, not just at food and produce, but we can look around at people, maybe even those that come along to church. And what if we allow our thanksgiving to start to turn to envy? Why is it that God gives them more? But also, what's the opposite of that? Well, I'm thankful to God that I'm not as bad off as they are. And then that becomes pride. Jesus told a story. It's found in Matthew chapter 20. Of course, you can turn to it or look at it later, but just to kind of precis the story. It's of a landowner who looks for helpers to come and work in the vineyard. And he hires someone at the beginning of the day and agrees on a day's wage. And then, as the story goes, just to shorten it a bit, he hires people throughout the day at different times during the day. And then at the end of the day, when they come to receive what is theirs, they all get the same. And the people that have worked there all day are a little bit upset. Why is it that I get the same as someone who's only been working here for an hour? You've given them a day's wage and me a day's wage, but I've done more work. And the landowner said, but you agreed. That was the equality of it. It doesn't matter that you work longer. You still agreed. Now we can look around and we can get envious of other people. And we can look around and maybe allow that thanksgiving to turn a little bit to pride. But what is it that God wants of us in our lives? If you turn to the scripture reading, I'll read it through again with you. See, Paul is writing to the people in Philippi. If we read just maybe from the verse before, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned but had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Does contentment include thanksgiving? Yeah. I think so. I hope so. That when we are content with what we do have, then we give thanks to God. No matter what the circumstances. Paul goes on to say, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Of course, that's a whole lot easier to say when you're in need, when you're not in need. When times are difficult, it's harder to be content. But that's where God is inviting us to exercise our thanksgiving, no matter what the situation. That's where we really get that true sense of contentment, when we are in need, but we thank God anyway. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Well-fed, that means you've got plenty, yeah? I know it's always difficult when the preacher starts talking about food at this time of the day, especially with a display like this in front of us, and our stomachs start to rumble. But Paul is saying, whether he's well-fed, whether he's got food in the cupboard, or he opens the cupboard and you're down to your last packet of noodles, then you give thanks. I thank you, God, for the little that I do have. Please, God, help me to be content, although God also invites you to strive for more. Be content. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in poverty or in plenty, sorry, or in want. Again, it's so much easier when we have plenty to say, thank you, God. How easy is it when we don't have too much? When life is a struggle? When we're uncertain about where the next bit of money is coming in from, whether we can get some more money to put on to the key meter, whether we can get some more things that we need. But we can be content with the little that we do have. But do you know what the next verse says? I just do the run up again. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Verse 13 is maybe a verse that you've heard or heard quoted before. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Has anyone ever heard of that verse before? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What is the context of that verse? Maybe we kind of nonchalantly, I can do everything through God who gives me strength. But do you see the context? I can do everything when I am content with the little that I do have or the plenty that I do have. It's in my contentment that God can actually do things through me. So the farmer wasn't content with the blessings that he did get, but he asked for those blessings. Although he knew that his neighbor would get double. I know it's a parable. But let's learn to be content as we give thanks to God for what we do have, whether that is a little or plenty. And in that contentment, let's ask God to do the things that he wants to do through us, because he can do everything through us, because he gives us strength.